NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move made around the league. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and I am joined by Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan, also the newest TV star, draft analyst, who spent the weekend in Cleveland breaking down picks for CBS. So very happy to have Emery, who's a longtime friend with us, to talk New York Giants draft. Emery, congratulations on a successful weekend. And excited to talk ball with you, as always.
Well, I appreciate that, Pat. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of stuff we were able to do out there. And, you know, I'm excited for the season as, once again, I think every team, just like last year, every team, I thought, nailed the draft, to be honest.
Well, only time will tell. I mean, we can't tell for another 3 years, but certainly the Giants, wow. What happened to Dave Gettleman, Emery? I mean, he had three trades, two of which he traded back and picked up extra assets, and he's still got good value. I mean, let's start there. What do you think of Trader Dave?
You know, I like it because at the end of the day, being able to grab a 2022 first-round pick is huge because this year, you know, we didn't have the benefit of having a small college class, right? Because the majority of the FCS and D2 schools played in the spring. So the depth of prospects was not there in conjunction with the amount of FBS prospects that went back to school and took advantage of the extra year. So in 2022, you're going to have more FBS prospects and the small college prospects in the mix as well. So having more picks in 2022 is worth its weight in gold. So just that alone, made this draft a win, in my opinion.
Definitely did. And, you know, the Chicago Bears giving up a haul to move up to get a quarterback. And they just recently cut their left tackle. So there's a good chance the Giants might get a top pick in the top half of the draft next year.
I don't know, Pat, because that quarterback they got is a lot better than the one that's in New York. But here's the thing. We got to give Matt Nagy credit because he got to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years with Mitch Trubisky. So imagine what he'll do with that team, with that defense, with a quarterback that's actually talented. So Chicago, that second pick may be around with a Giants pick, you know, so they might be neck and neck.
Maybe we'll have to see. But you know what? Let's talk about the Giants picks in this draft. And we got to start off with Kadarius Toney. Were you surprised that the Giants went with him? Do you like that pick? And what can he bring to the Giants offense?
I'm not surprised they went wide receiver. I think a lot of people thought they were going to take a receiver early. But Toney, to me, is a good player. And I compare Toney to Antonio Brown. You know, a lot of people look at Toney and say, oh, he's a gadget guy. No, that's what he was asked to do in that offense. But if you watch him and how he runs routes and how he's able to separate versus man coverage or find soft spots versus zone coverage and work himself open, you see a lot of Antonio Brown-like skill. So he can grow as a receiver, and he does a great job of tracking the ball, accelerating to the ball when it's in the air, going deep down the field, and he's a legitimate catch-and-run guy. And we spoke about this ad nauseum last year, the type of receivers they want to put around Daniel Jones. You know, Daniel Jones is not the best deep ball passer, and you kind of want him because you don't want him holding the ball that long. And it takes long for deep routes to, you know, set up. You kind of want him to get rid of the football quickly. And the best way you can help aid that process along is by getting guys that can take a short pass a long way. So that's why you see the advent of these guys like Toney, surrounding themselves within this offense, surrounding Daniel Jones with guys like Tony. So I love the pick, and I trust the fact that they have a great receiver coach in Tyke Tolbert. So it's going to work out because he's a great player going to a great coach in almost an ideal situation. That worst case scenario, right out the gate, he helps you in special teams. And we know Thomas McGahee will love that as well.
Where do you see Tony eventually fitting in? Is he more of a slot guy, an outside guy, a guy who can do both?
I think he's more of a slot guy, but he can also be a flanker, so to speak, so a Z, so you kind of could put him on the move. I think it's more getting ready for the eventual departure of a Sterling Shepard. You can't really count on a John Ross because, you know, you don't know if he's going to be healthy. So that's a wild card in all of this. So I think, you know, they obviously love Galladay. They obviously love Slayton. And Tony gives them someone that they can grow with that they feel as though is someone that's a little bit more consistent health-wise than John Ross. And in a way, kind of like Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Sterling Shepard in the last year of his contract, in which he's getting guaranteed money. He has a couple of years left on the deal itself, but the guaranteed money is drying up after this year, and that certainly would make sense. And especially if, God forbid, he has another injury which costs him multiple games. Emery, just real quick, what did you think about the Eagles-Dallas trade, a rare trade between NFC East opponents? You know, a lot of Giant fans were very irked with the Eagles for doing that, but I saw it as kind of differently. But before I tell you how I saw it, I'd like to get your take on it.
Yeah, I think it's a classic case of, you know, NFL teams getting intel on what other teams are going to do. So if you're the Eagles and you're eyeing Devonta Smith, and you know the Giants are eyeing him as well, and you know Dallas is not taking a receiver, especially when the guy they probably was targeting got taken right before them in with Denver. So it made it an easy trade for both teams. So the Eagles went ahead and usurped the Giants and got the receiver, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner. And the Cowboys end up getting this probably their second best defender on the board in Micah Parsons. So it worked out for both parties. And I can understand why Giants fans were upset, because I'm pretty sure Gettleman and company was eyeing Devonta Smith because he's a tremendous talent.
Yes, he is. And I'm pretty sure that's who they were eyeing as well. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Emery Hanna, Football Game Plan. And we will take a quick break, come back, talk more about the Giants 2021 draft class. Stay with us.
What is good, Giants fans? Listen up. Nugenix is the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, and they're offering complimentary bottles to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass as well. There's a reason that Nugenix has been the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC for years. Simply put, it works. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape absolutely free. Just text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply.
This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, rings that are sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just do a search for the words 10 by 10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and is fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique rings she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina with Emery Hunt, A Football Game Plan, and CBS Sports. If you missed it, he did a he was on with CBS Sports breaking down the draft, doing what he does best. And I'm telling you, rising star. Pretty soon, I'll have to jump through hoops to get you on the show. Emery, let's talk about day two of the Giants draft. They came away with Azeez Ojulari, who I believe was one of the top 3-4 outside linebackers. Even though, you know, word came down that there were some medical concerns at the last minute there, you also had cornerback Aaron Robinson of UCF, who I think is more of a slot cornerback. But give me your take on those two guys.
Value picks for the Giants there. So good value there. I didn't see Azeez Ojulari as a first-round pick. I saw him more as a high second-round pick. So for me personally, that's about where I had him slated. So I look at it as, oh, wow, that's a great value pick. The reason why I had him not as a first round guy, because I don't see the tremendous pass rush skill. I see someone that's a solid player. Like, he's so strong at the point of attack. So he could set the edge versus the run, and he can power rush to the quarterback, but he has to develop more pass rushing moves. That's why I didn't have him as one of these top tier first round players. But for the Giants' sake, that's a good pick for what they need on defense, just crowding the line of scrimmage. You saw that, you know, when you, in preseason or in training camp, you saw that with Lorenzo Carter and what he was able to do, just be active around the line of scrimmage. You saw that with O'Shane Zimenez at times, just being active around the line of scrimmage. So you're getting a guy in Ojulari who could do the same thing, but also has he's more of a power rusher. So it does give you some pass rush, but also helps you stay strong versus the run. And we know that's where the Giants was really good last year versus the run.
Whose snaps could you see him potentially cutting into? I mean, I don't think it'll be Lorenzo Carter, although Carter is coming off of a ruptured Achilles. I mean, they also added in free agency Ifeanyi Odenigbo. They have Ryan Anderson as an outside linebacker, but, you know, they're going to get Ojulari on the field. Do you think maybe he takes some snaps from Zimenez?
Probably so, because I see him as a starter opposite of Lorenzo Carter. I don't view Ryan Anderson as a factor. I see him more as a special teams guy, and I believe he's already ahead of Odenigbo. So I think it'll be Carter and whoever wins that battle out of Zimenez and Ojulari. So I think that's where the real significant battle will take place in camp.
Yeah, I think so as well. And Zimenez, of course, is coming off of the season-ending shoulder injury. When last we saw him, we saw flashes from him, but not really, you know, the run defense just wasn't there just yet. I mean, where do you view Ojulari as a run defender?
I think that's where he's solid. You know, yeah. I had him graded as a sandbacker, so someone that can, you know, play on the line of scrimmage. You can trust him in short area zone dropping and being able to do well in the passing game. You can see him going forward as a pass rusher. So I had him more as a sandbacker because I trust him in that role. So with that being said, he's more of the run defender that you can trust to drop back in the short underneath zone area. So yeah, I see him more so playing a good complement to Carter, because Carter is more of the twitchy guy, the lengthy guy that you want kind of rushing the passer. And I think that's where Ojulari brings a lot of value.
Yeah, I think so as well. Now, in terms of, let's talk about Aaron Robinson, the cornerback. I think I read where he is more of a slot cornerback. I mean, what's your take on him and the value they got there?
Yeah, I had him graded as my number 6 slot corner. So I had him graded in the slot. And so for me, it was a situation where they got a guy that, you know, what's interesting about him is the fact that he is, you know, you play inside and, you know, slot receivers are playing off the line of scrimmage. So it's hard to really get a good jam on these guys. But he is able to play press coverage in the slot because he has great footwork and patience. So he may not be able to get a hand on you inside because you're off the line of scrimmage, but he still ties you up inside. So I love that pick because I think this guy has instincts, has cover skills, has ball skills. He had 16 pass breakups, so he's always around the ball and active around the ball. This was a slam dunk, in my opinion, in the third round. So I see him more as a slot player, obviously. That's where I had him graded. So the competition for him will be with him and Darnay Holmes. So, but the Giants secondary is a strength, in my opinion. So they have the luxury of not rushing Robinson out there. So almost immediately, he becomes one of your gunners, a core special teamer. So think about the Giants strengthening special teams in this draft while getting guys that they can grow and develop into starters. And I see Robinson as that guy. So maybe next year you're looking at him as more of a starter, but this year, you know, he'll be in there at times in sub packages, unless he just blows the door off the competition and beats out Darnay Holmes. But otherwise, you're going to see him as more of a dime guy, situational guy coming in as a substitute, but more of a core special teamer with tremendous upside.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering now what effect that's going to have on Darnay Holmes. I mean, Robinson, I think, isn't he a little taller than Darnay Holmes?
Yeah, he's about 2 inches tall. I think he's 5'11", and Holmes is like, what, 5'9½". So he's a little bit taller, but, you know, they both are very good, you know, guys that can mirror and match. So even, you know me, the height doesn't matter as long as it's about how you play. And also, it's kind of insurance for someone like Adoree Jackson, who we really haven't seen stay healthy. So, you know, they kind of put themselves in a situation where they got a good corner that can play on the outside, but also could play on the inside. You know, they have a lot of love for Julian Love, pun intended, because he's versatile, and so they have depth now in the secondary. And, you know, even their 6th-round pick, Rodarius Williams out of Oklahoma State, is a really good corner. So, you know, they got some dudes now that they can rotate in if guys go down and get hurt. So I do like the pick, especially in the third round, because you're adding depth to a strength position. And so that secondary is going to be versatile. And if they're healthy, it's going to be hard to really, you know, complete passes against the Giants secondary.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they play that out because the Giants, you know, that defensive secondary, they certainly beefed that unit up, which will help the pass rush, by the way. They can get those guys to hold these, you know, their coverage a little bit longer. And we all know about the second cornerback spot that they signed Adoree Jackson to kind of fill that spot. But now when you look at what they have there, I mean, how much more flexible are they with how they deploy those guys? In other words, can they maybe move Aaron Robinson back to the perimeter and move Jackson inside, or are they kind of like pigeonholed into certain positions?
No, I think they can move around it. And a lot of it depends on, the matchups. So sometimes you may face a team where the matchup is better for one guy to go inside and one guy to go outside. But you also factor in Xavier McKinney and how he's able to play inside in the slot too. So you have, and Logan Ryan cut his teeth in the league as a corner, so he can cover. So that's the beauty about what they've built. And I mentioned this when we were at training camp when Pat Shurmur was there about positionless players. So you look at the secondary, and really the only guy that's kind of relegated to a position is Jabril Peppers. You know, he's a stone cold safety, right? Everybody else can cover one-on-one. And I think that's the model that you kind of want to go in today's game, being positionless to where they can't beat you with personnel or formation because you're going to always be in a good spot.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Patrick Graham is going to deploy all these guys. He's got so many new toys really to play with actually, and it's going to be fun. This defense, I think, you know, for as good as it was last year, I think it's just gotten that much better, wouldn't you say? I mean, do you see any weaknesses on this defense?
I think inside linebacker could be a potential spot where you're a little bit vulnerable, but it all depends on, you know, how consistent you can get, you know, play you can get from Martinez, or the growth you can see from a Tate Crowder, whatever you can get from Reggie Ragland. You know, I kind of like what Cam Brown was able to do. He's able to play outside and inside backer. And you want to see growth with guys like him and Carter Coughlin, who showed some flashes last year. So I'm interested to see how those guys develop. But inside linebacker is probably where there's a slight concern on that defense. But everywhere else, I just think that solid overtakes that. You know, it's like that's why I had the Giants in the first round taking a Micah Parsons, because that would have answered one of the questions, in my opinion. But, you know, at the end of the day, they got good players around. Ellerson Smith is a fantastic upside, lengthy, athletic player that showed down the Senior Bowl that he, one, bulked up a little bit, but also was able to win one-on-one and show flexibility and dropping back in coverage and, you know, being a tremendous athlete that he is. So I just like what they've done defensively. I just think that this is a very strong defense. Whatever they were last year, ranked-wise, they're going to be better than that.
I think so, too. I hope so, at any rate. You're listening to Locked on Giants with Patricia Train and special guest Emery Hunt, Football Game Plan. We'll take our final break. When we come back, we've got day 3 of the Giants draft to talk about, so stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, regardless of the sport or the major event. BetOnline also covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, offering real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you enter the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your sportsbook expert. Hey, Giant fans, if you haven't tried the all-new Built Bar, you're really missing out. They offer an amazing assortment of flavors, both of the nut and nut-free varieties, which is sure to appease any taste. And can I take a moment to tell you about their new Coconut Brownie Chunk Bar? Folks, this is by far my favorite of Built Bar's selection and a perfect way for me to swap out a meal. Or, if my day is particularly busy and I need a quick bite, tide me over until my next meal. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they really taste like you're eating a candy bar. Except you're not. You're indulging in a low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber treat that's great for the keto diet or any diet plan you happen to be on. So head on over to BuiltBar.com today and use the special promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, and enter the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked on Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and I have Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan, and we are talking Giants draft. And Emery, let's talk day 3 of the draft. There were no trades, but guys that you can make a case for being, you know, depth players. What did you like from what the Giants did? What didn't you like? What surprised you?
I really liked the Ellerson Smith, you know, pick. Yo, that dude there, man, when you see him, he's one of the tallest dudes on the field, number one, but also just plays active. And when you have the length and the activity go along with it, you're going to be a disruptive player. Rodarius Williams out of Oklahoma State, he has good overall coverage skills. And so you could tell he has a ton of reps and starts in college. So you're getting a veteran guy that you can throw in there at any point in time, and he's not going to be wowed by the moment because he played a lot at Oklahoma State. And, you know, in the Big 12, you're going to see a lot of, you know, you're going to get a lot of reps in the pass game. And so those two, to me, were like really good picks. We talked about a little bit of what they brought in with, you know, with those two defenders. But the running back, Gary Brightwell out of Arizona, angry runner. And they kind of needed another guy, I believe, you know, just to provide some good depth there. So we'll see what he can bring. So he's going to be fight it out with Elijah Penny, I believe. That's going to be the battle. But they signed Devontae Booker. So that's the number two. But Brightwell probably is slated for more of the practice squad unless he could beat out Penny, who they really like. But I thought overall day three was solid as well, because again, Williams and Smith, I think, are going to find a way to see some playing time this year too.
Did anything really, you know, surprise you? I mean, Rodarius Williams, I thought he would go a little earlier than where he went. I remember, you know, reading about him, and we actually talked to him back at the Senior Bowl, and I was kind of surprised he fell as far as he did. Did that shock you as well?
Not really, because when you think about how the draft tends to go, it goes in waves. You know, we already know quarterbacks get overrated and they get bumped up into, you know, the top part of the draft, which pushes down other positions. Then you saw a run on receivers, then the run on O linemen, then you saw a running back kind of go in there in round two. So it's, you know, it's just the nature of the position. Then you saw on day two and day three, the early run on more offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So it kind of pushed down guys. So I'm not surprised. It's just that's just how the draft goes at times. When you start to see a run on players or certain positions, then everybody wants to go grab those positions before they're all gone. So I just think that it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how next year's draft happens, because there's going to be so many players, man. It's going to be a draft that has a ton of talent, a ton of depth, and it's going to be in Vegas. So it's going to be just a fun 2022.
Yeah, and I bet you the Giants are drooling at the prospect, again, with all those assets that they have. Emery, this is not necessarily draft-related, but I have to ask you about it, because I don't know where this came up, but I've got to ask you about it. There's been some talk about the Giants and Aaron Rodgers. I don't see it happening, and I put an article out yesterday on Giants Country about it, why financially it's not going to make any sense. And I know people are going to say, well, look at the Giants went on a spending spree and they made it work. They can make this work. What are your thoughts about potentially adding Aaron Rodgers? Do you think it makes sense at this point?
For the right price. But if you tell me I have to give up a 2022 first round pick, nope. Already hang up the phone, not doing it. Because Aaron Rodgers, what, close to 40? I just spoke glowingly about the 2022 class and what potentially it could be. And anytime you have two first round picks in any class, I'm not parting ways with an opportunity to get two of the top 32 players in a class. Absolutely not. So if they want to, you know, trade Aaron Rodgers for Riley Dixon, I'm all for it. But if they're trying to make you, you know, come up off a first round pick, nope, no sir. Although, yeah, he would help you out and would help you win. But man, two first round picks in a loaded class, that's hard.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And you know, I from a cap perspective, I don't see how it's going to work. Listen, ran through some numbers and
don't even worry about the cap. The Saints have done wonders with $5 for the last seven.
Yeah, but Emery, the Giants maxed out their cap space for the next couple of years. And even Kevin Abrams said that they may have a problem next year when some of those contracts blow up in the second year. So, you know, short of doing a massive roster cut, and, you know, it's all going to depend on whether or not they win or not, but it is something to look at. And Aaron Rodgers, if he supposedly wants a new deal, I don't see how it's going to happen. But anyway, let's get back to the 2022 draft. I want to ask you, I know you probably haven't gotten into it too deeply yet, but early on, what's the buzz as far as where the deep areas are going to be?
I think you're going to see more defensive players in the first round as opposed to what we saw this year. This year was like offensive central, because a lot of the top defensive players were either underclassmen or, you know, not draft eligible or just went back to college. So I just think this upcoming year, it'll be a lot more balanced, you know, and everybody wants to focus on quarterbacks. We don't know which quarterbacks will rise this year. And, you know, it's easy to look at it now from afar and say, oh, it's not a good class. But they say that every year, you know, outside of maybe one player. And then all of a sudden, when we get to draft season, you have like eight quarterbacks that people talk about as first round picks. So I think you're going to see a lot more balance until a couple of quarterbacks present themselves to be worthy of a first round pick. You could probably almost guess we're going to see four quarterbacks go in the first round. Whoever they are, right? We don't know anybody now, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see four. But you're going to see much more defensive talent in this year's crop of guys, you know, cornerback, edge rushers. Kayvon Thibodeau is in this draft. So I'm excited. I'm ready to see good balance get back to the forefront, because I felt like all draft cycle this year we talked about offensive players, and you know, so I'm glad to see a little bit more balance in the draft come 2022.
Final question for you, Emery. Were you surprised or bothered by the fact that the Giants weren't able to address offensive line in this draft?
No, not really, because again, and this is the issue I have with a lot with draft Twitter and mock drafts in general. It kind of influenced the minds of the masses. So when you don't, you know, do something, people knock it. Or even just in media in general, when people talk about certain things and they just, you know, they ignore what's already on the roster. It's easy to say Giants need to do something about the offensive line, right? It's easy to say that. That's like a standard cut and paste type critique, not realizing they invested heavily in the offensive line last year with three picks, two premier picks and one fifth round pick in Shane Lemieux. The premier pick, Andrew Thomas and Matt Parrott, both starters. Shane Lemieux is competing for a starting job. They like Kyle Murphy, who they developed last year, and they have him as a depth guy. He was an undrafted free agent in 2020. So I can understand them not taking a lineman. I was shocked that, well, I guess that, you know, hearing the comments coming out now about how they are confident in Daniel Jones. To me, if Justin Fields was sitting right there, I wouldn't have hesitated to pull the trigger and, you know, move in another direction, because what's going to happen this year when the offense is stacked and, you know, all these weapons, are you going to blame the offensive line? Are you going to blame the receivers? You're going to blame Jason Garrett? You're going to blame Saquon Barkley? Or are you going to acknowledge the fact that Daniel Jones might be the liability? So, you know, at the end of the day, to answer your question, I understand why they didn't go offensive line. You just kind of wanted to see one maybe in the sixth round instead of going running back. That's probably, but again, we're talking about a sixth round pick. So I had no issues with what the Giants did in the draft, to be completely honest.
Well, only time will tell if the decisions are the right ones. And as Dave Gettleman said after the draft, it's going to take a full 3 years for us to really know what they have and what they don't have. But in the meantime, they'll continue adding to it. And, you know, look, let's not discount the coaching. The Giants have some outstanding coaching. So that should be interesting as well. And, you know, how they bring these guys together. Emery, before we sign off, let everybody know what you got coming up, since now draft season is over.
Well, we're going to, and people always throw out their draft grades. I like to wait until after rookie minicamp, because I like to see which undrafted free agents got signed, which guys from the tryout gets signed, because I include the undrafted free agents as a part of the draft class, because that's a critical part too. We've seen this over the course of years, especially with the Giants, how many undrafted free agents make the roster. We just talked about Kyle Murphy. We saw Nick Lalos, you know, make the roster last year and have an impact. So I like to wait before I put out my draft grades. Everybody's putting out the draft grades now, but you know, they don't even factor in undrafted free agents. To me, that's a critical part of the class. And after that, then it's, you know, we're working on just the season previews of college football and also the NFL. But for those fans out there, you can still get my draft guide, because it's going to help you all throughout training camp and into the preseason. As we know, the rosters are transient and everyone's going to be coming and going. And you're going to find guys on the roster that you may not be familiar with. And we have scouting reports on all of them. And that's at footballgameplan.com/2021draft guide.
Emery, my friend, always fun talking ball with you. I'm sure we will talk again as we get a little bit closer to training camp. Appreciate the time. Giant fans, I appreciate you listening. Keep it here on the Locked On Giants podcast. We're going to try and do a mailbag at the end of the week. I know I said we tried to do it last week and it didn't work out. We didn't have a whole lot of questions, but I really want to try and get one in. So if you have questions for me for the podcast, be sure to send them in to Locked On Giants podcast@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can't get this mailbag going. I mean, we haven't done one here on the podcast in quite some time, so let's get it going, guys. All right. For Emery Hunt, I'm Patricia Trenner. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.